Welcome to Smokedown Weekly, episode 199E, Wrestling Edition. First thing is first, I want to give Pro Wrestling Magic a huge shout out. High Spots Podcast, huge shout out. Great hospitality, this past Saturday at the Knights of Columbus in Ridgefield Park in New Jersey. Last minute did an audible and decided not to go to House of Glory for a few reasons. One of them mainly, I wanted to be close to home. The second reason was I wanted to see my good friend EC Negro get an opportunity to win the heavyweight championship, which he did. And he is our new Pro Wrestling Magic heavyweight champion. He defeated Ace Romero and he defeated Dan Moff in a triple threat match. It was a great street fight. Great, awesome street fight. You know, I wanted to go over the quick results and give you my 2 cents on the event, but once again, those guys are first-class, independent wrestling fed. Great entertainment for those individuals in the T-neck, Ridgefield Park, and for New Jersey, for that matter. So Vince Pacifico, as you know, if you don't know, he was recovering from a major knee injury. I'm happy to see him back. Defeated Jeremy Lerny. John Taylor defeated Magic. B-Boy, who surprised me. It's so funny because his theme song was a Kumite song from Bloodsport, and he surprised me because a couple of days before that, I used it for motivation for work for some reason, and it's funny how he came out to that song, and he defeated Everett Cross, great matchup, and he used a Kumite song. So, very happy about that. Eddie McQueen defeated Ricky Martinez, great bout. CPA defeated Flamingo, and then Jordan Grace defeated Skyler for the PWM Women's Championship. Jordan Grace is awesome. It's funny. I was trying to take a picture of her, even though I already did. There was some sort of intermission after that match, and for whatever reason, I just never got to her or Skyler. So I never got my pictures with the two women. But Jordan Grace is great. You know, she squats. She's great. You know, very, you know, uses a lot of power, uses a jackhammer, uses a spear. I think she'll be great. She's a great women's champion. So good for her. And I know I saw her on Raw a few weeks back, so good for her. And then, four-way match was awesome. Mike Donovan defeated Anthony Green, Pinky Sanchez, and Sebastian Cage. Some amazing spots. Scary spots, because I'm always afraid that you're one high-flying move away from hurting yourself. But Sebastian Cage did some amazing things. Pinky Sanchez, in and out the matchup, amazing things. At the end, Mike Donovan pulls off the win. PWN tag team four-way, I guess fatal four-way, Aaron Bradley and Stephen Off defeated the Down Boys, and also the Amazing Graysons and Glitz and Glamour. They were replacing Smiley and I forgot his tag team partner, and we have new tag team champions there. The Dark Arts title, or AKA, I'm assuming their version of the IC Championship, Adam Payne defeated Joey Ryan. And Joey Ryan, I've never seen him live, but one thing about Joey Ryan, he was excellent. I went up to him. We had some great conversations, had some great conversations after the show. Very nice, down-to-earth guy. He did his thing. He did his spot. There was over 30 Joey Ryan fans, and he took a picture with them. He posted it on his Instagram and everything, and he did his spot. The guy grabbed his penis, and then he wound up getting superpowers from his penis. They wound up flipping Adam Payne. But at the end, Adam Payne defeats Joey Ryan. Now, I'm assuming that from a business standpoint, I spoke to Joey Ryan. He is booked. He's making a lot of money, man. I know that same night or in the morning, he was going to Toronto, and then he was going to do something out west, and he was going to do something back out east. It was just crazy just listening to his schedule, telling me how he'll be in Japan in January. He'll be in Australia in March. I'm just very impressed how I'm so happy that I don't want to say independent wrestling is back. It's always been there, but I'm happy that a lot of individuals are making a lot of money outside of the WWE, because the goal is always the WWE, and one of the reasons is financial. But I'm happy that individuals like Cody Rhodes, the Bullet Club, Joey Ryan, individuals are able to make money outside of the WWE and don't have to worry about the restrictions of the WWE and all that. So, and I believe most of their merchandise money, with the exception of the Hot Topic deal, I'm assuming that most of the merch that they sell at these shows is 100% profit. Well, not 100%, but 100% their profit from the sale. I'm pretty sure they have to pay, of course, for printing them. But besides that point, 100% profit from that point of sale. So, you know, good for Joey Ryan. And then the main event, EC Negro defeated Ace Romero and Zad Moff. Amazing, hardcore, no disqualification matchup. Miguel got involved in the ending through the brass knuckles and eventually hit Zad Moff, which eventually gave EC Negro the win. He did some sort of Rainmaker with the exception of a punch, which was great. I love that move. I love the Rainmaker, and I love the Japanese commentary. Rainmaker! Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. So kudos to those guys. And hey, if you're in New Jersey, and if you're in the Teaneck-Bergenfield-Ridgefield Park area, and if you're looking for some great entertainment, please follow Pro Wrestling Magic on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, and please attend their shows. Great, great organization. You know, I had to support EC Negro, I had to support Miguel, who both individuals I've known for a very long time. You know, Miguel almost 20 years, EC Negro close to about 17, or in that range. So I had to support those guys. So that is my recap and my 2 cents on Pro Wrestling Magic High Spots Podcast. We're going to do some cross promotion at some point. And I know there were some people selling retro games, and it kind of reminded me of the argument of what's the greatest game of all time, World Tour, Revenge, WrestleMania 2000, or even the Japanese game, which it escapes my mind, but I remember my brother and I buying the Japanese game, and it was so funny because we didn't have the Japanese converter for the 64. We kind of melted the cartridge so it could fit the system. And hey, that was a great game because you had individuals from, you had Ken Shamrock, Dan Severin, you had individuals from everywhere, Giant Baba, you name it. That was an awesome, awesome game. And man, I miss playing those games. So that's my 2 cents on Pro Wrestling Magic. Follow them on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Sorry, I was forgetting who else. Or what other social media platforms. Let me drink my tea. Alright. JD from New York, or JC, whatever his name is. I know he put out a nasty tweet and he got bombarded with hate regarding the Women's Royal Rumble. I'm not going to go ahead and sit here and give you a full recap of every segment of Monday Night Raw. But I do love the idea of the Women's Royal Rumble, and I'm going to tell you why. Because we're in a day and an age where the woman is fighting for equal pay in an era that women can main event. You know, Ronda Rousey has proved that women can main event and can and make money. So, and women have have done great, whether it's in gymnastics, whether it's in tennis, have dominated sports. And there's no exception that WWE wants to get into that space as well. And therefore, they've done the first ever Hell in a Cell, the first ever Money in the Bank. And I think it's good. It's good that the women are not viewed as sex objects anymore, that they're legitimate athletes. And I think that's where Stephanie McMahon and that's where the WWE brass wants to take the women's division. It's not just a bra and panties match or a pillow fight, but you could take them serious and give them a reason to watch the show. Like Charlotte is great, great SmackDown Women's Champion. Becky Lynch, Natalya, Paige, these are all legitimate, you know, female athletes that happen to be pretty as well. But with that, but even if you take out the prettiness, just being able to be judged as equal as a man, and that's what this is all about. And I think the next step with the Mae Young Classic, with the plethora of women on Raw and SmackDown, I don't want to say plethora, but you have about 9 now with the 2 new factions on each show, let's say, about give or take. That's 18. Plus, you could call up a couple of individuals from NXT and you could make it 20, 25, or even the full 30. So we'll see. It'll be interesting to see. You know, I know he got a lot of hate because he's against it and kind of defeats the purpose of the regular Royal Rumble. I don't think it takes anything away. I think it's great. You know, for example, December 29th, Chris Cyborg is fighting Holly Holm for the Women's featherweight championship. The end of the card, I forgot what the end of the card is, but it'll most likely be a male fight or maybe a high-profile female fight. It doesn't matter. I don't think it bothers me at all. If anything, it helps the WWE, you know, be shed in a positive light that they respect the female performers just as similar to the men, if not equal, and they don't treat them as sex objects as they did during the Attitude Era. So, you know, I disagree, JD, JC from NY, but you know, intelligently, I'm trying to say that that's what the WWE wants. The WWE wants to be in the conversations, you know, similar to Ronda Rousey and her dominance in the UFC, similar to Serena Williams and her dominance in tennis, Danica Patrick in NASCAR or Indy, whatever she races. The women's soccer team dominating. You know, this is great examples. You know, I can say that because I have a daughter, so I have a different perspective than the average person. You know, if you have kids, if you have a daughter, that's you want to be able to have. I don't want to say have a role model, but something to look forward to. You know, you don't want them to be viewed as streetwalkers or anything like that. You want them to be able to aspire to do whatever they want, and you don't want the WWE to be in a political war with what's going on in society and being able to cap women or being able to sexual harass women and all that. Has it happened in the past? I'm pretty sure it has. You know, Melina, they came out recently saying how she was harassed, raped, this and that. Has it happened? Yeah, I mean, and I'm, you know, it's probably been happening for years. You know, the movie industry or the entertainment industry has been getting hit by all these accusations and allegations of individuals, you know, male and female being sexually harassed. That restaurant industry here is being tackled. And I'm pretty sure other industries have abused their power as men in high profile positions to take advantage of women for sexual advances. So the WWE wants to stay away politically as much as possible. And I think it's a great move. Now, my prediction for the Women's Rumble, there's a couple of choices. Asuka is the obvious choice to win the Rumble. You know, a lot of people saying Ronda Rousey might make a surprise appearance, which would be great. I would love to see her in the Royal Rumble. Do I see her winning it? No. What I do see her doing is dominating and throwing a lot of females over the top rope and then being eliminated somehow. And perhaps that could set up a WrestleMania match in itself. That's my prediction. I see Ronda Rousey being a surprise entrant. I don't see her being advertised for the show, even though it could help buy rates, but I don't think it'll. I think they're going to keep it a surprise. I can see Asuka definitely winning the Royal Rumble. I don't know. It sucks that Charlotte is the champion. She deserves to be in the Rumble, but she's the champion, so she can't be in it. Of course, Becky Lynch. Alexa Bliss is a Raw champion, so she won't be in it. No, I do see also Nia Jax, I don't want to say winning it, I do see her having some sort of Kane-esque type performance to her as well. She could throw, I don't know, 5 to 6 women over the top rope and then finally get eliminated by 3 or 4 people. I could definitely see that occurring. So, that's my 2 cents, that's my feedback on politics and why the Women's Rumble is good. As far as the male Royal Rumble matchup, I don't know. I have no idea who's going to win it. I just know that on the Raw side, clearly we're going to see Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, I believe. And on the SmackDown side, it's looking like AJ Styles and Nakamura. Now, Nakamura could win the Royal Rumble, which could set up AJ Styles and Nakamura 2 in a dream match. And on the other side of the coin, I could definitely see Roman Reigns winning the Elimination Chamber in February or winning a tournament somehow and getting in that way. So that's how I think it's going to still be set up. Speaking of Brock Lesnar, it was announced on Monday that Brock Lesnar will square off against Braun Strowman and Kane. It's a great matchup to protect Lesnar and to limit his physicality in the matchup. I could definitely see somehow Lesnar stealing a win here and getting one step closer to WrestleMania in New Orleans. I could definitely see that. New Orleans being the site where he defeated The Undertaker, or ended The Undertaker's streak. Defeated Undertaker and ended his streak. Dean Ambrose suffered a tricep injury. I found out on Raw, or as you, if you read the dirt sheets, very interesting there. You know, it's sad because with Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins actually had a decent program with Cesaro and Sheamus, although I'm kind of tired of that feud. But now you leave Seth Rollins in a position where, yeah, he could hold off on his own, but is he going to get a high-profile match? Last year he had Triple H, and of course that was questionable because of his knee injury, but it wound up playing us the whole time, and we all knew that he was fine. So this year, I don't know, what high-profile match is he going to get? I don't know. Can he fight Triple H again? No. Triple H, I'm pretty sure he'll insert his way into WrestleMania somehow. The question is, who does he wrestle against? I don't know. We'll see what happens there. But I know Seth Rollins is now in a limbo. We all know Roman Reigns will win somehow the number one contendership. But I don't know. Where does it leave Seth Rollins? I'll leave it up to you guys. I'll actually do a quick poll somehow. Clash of the Champions was this past Sunday. I won't go over the entire card. I don't care about the entire card, but I do care about the four or five main matches, right? So AJ Styles defeats Jinder Mahal. You know, a lot of people, including Vince Russo, said that Mahal should have regained the championship because now Mahal is going to be, you know, in the middle of nowhere, which I disagree. I think if Mahal gets a high profile match in Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, he could maintain his main event status per se. Now, I don't see AJ Styles losing the championship up until WrestleMania, and AJ Styles has deserved this main event opportunity. He took advantage of a situation in 2016, had excellent programs with John Cena and Roman Reigns, and eventually won the championship the first time. And then he had an amazing 2017 matchup with John Cena. To me, it's probably match of the year. In addition to that, had a great program with Shane McMahon and has had a great program with Kevin Owens and has had a great program now with Jinder Mahal. Now, what happens with Mahal next? I don't know. I just hope I see him in a upper mid card. You know, he could still main event. I think he's a great main eventer. The question becomes, we're going to get Styles and Nakamura most likely at WrestleMania. The question is, how do we get there? And that is a question that I want to, you know, I guess that's the $50 million question. And for Mahal, where does he go from here? He's the kind of guy that needs a championship to validate his heel status. But now that he's not the champion, what do you do with Mahal? The good part is you've established a main eventer. The bad news is he needs a meaningful feud now. Dolph Ziggler defeats Baron Corbin and Bobby Roode to become the new United States champion. But from what I read and saw on SmackDown last night, I don't know if he relinquished it or he quit the WWE, so we don't know what's going to happen with that championship. Dolph Ziggler is a great worker, just for whatever reason, never seen as the guy, seen as a great worker, but never seen as the guy, which I'm very upset about. He deserves the spot, deserves the main event spot, deserves a run, even if it's on SmackDown, or for whatever reason has not gotten that opportunity. So now let's see what happens going forward with that. With Baron Corbin, they crapped on him with his push, you know, taking away his Money in the Bank, and now they took away his United States Championship. So now what happens with Baron Corbin? He will not be a main eventer. He'll probably be upper mid-card guy, and unfortunately, he'll have to rebuild himself into that status. Now, according to Vince Russo, you know, Baron Corbin, yes, should have not lost the championship, but at the same time, he believes that they don't believe in him, you know, because he should have been able to control that. It's weird, right? Because in wrestling, there's both internal locus of control and external locus of control. Internal is, you know, you control the matches, you control your performance, your promos and all that, or at least from what you say, right? But at the same time, if you don't perform at that high level, it's tough, you know, external locus of control. It's tough for writers to trust you and trust you to be champion and do the media stuff and behaving yourself on social media. It's a very tough spot. Wrestling, it felt like UFC and MMA where, you know, you control everything, you know, win, loss, because it's 100% real. You don't control, obviously, who you fight next and the booking and scheduling the next fight. But once that cage closes, you know, it's all on you. In wrestling, it's a little bit different. There's a little bit of back and forth and a little bit of politics, which is why it's interesting to say the least. What happens with Corbin going forward? Who knows? Rude, the sky's the limit. I could definitely see Rude eventually winning the U.S. Championship, and I could definitely see him in a main event picture, just not right this second. Usos won the Fatal 4-Way, which I thought Rusev Day and Aiden English should have won it. I agree with Vince Russo there. I was listening to his show or read his transcript of his show. You know, Usos don't need the championship. They've been pushing Aiden English and Rusev Day for a while now, and I believe they should have won the match, right? The titles, but for whatever reason, they haven't won it. But I think what's going to happen is eventually down the line, we will see Rusev Day and Aiden English win the championships, but the question is when? I don't know. And I don't want to say the main event, but one of the main storylines they've been pushing all day on SmackDown and at the Clash of the Champions was Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn fighting for their lives, fighting for their jobs against Randy Orton and Nakamura. Russo feels they were obnoxious, maybe a little. It doesn't bother me, the two refs. He calls it a cluster F. I don't think it was a cluster F. It makes it interesting. What I do want to see is a payoff here. You know, Owens and Zayn are still employed by SmackDown, you know, talking kayfabe. And Orton and Nakamura lost. But last night, Orton, Nakamura, and AJ defeated Owens, Zayn, and Mahal. Where do we go from here? I don't know. I believe the booking now should be, you know, leading up into the Royal Rumble. I believe the payoff is we're going to get a Daniel Bryan, Shane McMahon match. The question is, I believe it will happen at, I guess, WrestleMania? I guess, right? Daniel Bryan has been cleared, I believe. He's been cleared by all doctors. And someone, according to what I read in a thread on Facebook, according to them, Daniel Bryan has been cleared by the WWE. I don't know how true that is, but Daniel Bryan, this is the first time that I see him more physically involved in a lot of these endings and matches, and I wouldn't be surprised if he, even if it's part-time, or even if it's like once every 6 months, if he's, like, programs like this, he could do where he could get physical as far as being a ref, taking a bump once in a while, and I could definitely see Daniel Bryan against Shane McMahon. That'll be an awesome match at WrestleMania. Great payoff, great storyline so far, the tug of war as far as power between general manager and commissioner. I think it'll lead to a great storyline and great matchup at WrestleMania. So we'll see what happens there. I definitely see that's the payoff. And for Owens and Zayn, I don't know what's the payoff. Okay, so they're at the top of the storyline, but I don't know what's the payoff there. But I'm happy that they're in the spot that they're in against Daniel Bryan and Shane. And for Randy Orton, I don't know where he goes. I know Nakamura, to me, he's the clear-cut favorite to win the Royal Rumble. So I definitely could see him winning the Royal Rumble, and I'll be surprised if he didn't. Or at least if the Raw guy wins, I could definitely see Nakamura winning a number one contenders tournament or battle royal or elimination chamber match. Whatever. I could definitely see, he will be to me the number one contender on the SmackDown side. To those who saw Ric Flair, you know, I met Ric Flair a couple of times. I'm happy you met him at House of Glory, and I wanted to meet the Bullet Club and Cody Rhodes. Just did not happen. Had to go Christmas shopping that day. But I will meet the Bullet Club someday at some point. So that was, wrestling was a great wrestling weekend last weekend. I believe there aren't any much shows left to end the year. I know for House of Glory, you're going to have Amazing Red against Low Key. Should be an interesting, great bout. And now it'll be Super Bowl weekend, February 3rd, I believe. So I believe that's the date. All right, it's been a pleasure. We're about 24 minutes in. We discussed the women's Royal Rumble from a political standpoint. We discussed Lesnar's fans, and how that hurts Seth Rollins. We discussed the Wrestling Magic Show, and we went and discussed SmackDown and Clash of Champions. All right, hope you listen well. Hope you like both of you. It's been a pleasure. A lot to talk about. A lot.